Facebook, It's Time to Break Up, and more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is The Latest in Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hey, click that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss out on the latest episode. And if you would be so generous as to leave a review out on iTunes, that would be greatly appreciated. What you're listening to right now is our Friday special. And why is it special? Well, there's no video that goes along with it. You're not going to find it on YouTube. It's exclusive podcast episode. So we won't be covering any, let's say, today in tech history or did you know facts because it's special. But we will be covering 3 really quick articles, and then we'll be getting along with the rest of our day. And you might be wondering, Taylor, why are you doing this? Well, I have some things planned for today, so I can't do the full show, but I wanted to give you guys a show today nonetheless, so I'm just kind of slimming it down and giving you the good stuff quick. So we're going to be looking at 3 articles today. We'll be looking at an opinion piece on the New York Times by Chris Hughes. We'll be looking at an unhackable encrypted flash drive that apparently was hacked. And then we'll be looking at, well, the news that you can now play Minecraft for free in your browser. So, let's get on over to today's feature story. Alright, so today's feature story is opinion piece. And the title is, It's Time to Break Up Facebook. And it's by Chris Hughes. This is a big op-ed landed in New York Times today. And for those of you who don't know, well, this is one of the co-founders of Facebook. And let's just say this isn't a very short and quick article. It goes into a lot of detail. It's a long op-ed piece. There's a lot of moving parts. We're only going to be summing up a little bit of it. We will have the full show notes available at technewsgadget.net/114. It's 114 if you guys want to go out and take a look, or if you're listening to this on a podcast app, you should just be able to get more details and tap on the article link right there to get the full story. There's a lot of conversation going on around this. And so we'll read a little bit about it, we'll talk a little bit about it, and then we'll let you guys make your own decision on it. So it starts out, the last time I saw Mark Zuckerberg was in the summer of 2017, several months before the Cambridge Analytica scandal broke. We met at Facebook's Menlo Park, California office and drove to his house in a quiet, leafy neighborhood. We spent an hour or two together while his toddler daughter cruised around. We talked politics mostly, a little bit about Facebook, and a little bit about our families. When the shadows grew long, I had to head out. I hugged his wife Priscilla and said goodbye to Mark. Since then, Mark's personal reputation and the reputation of Facebook has taken a nosedive. The company's mistakes, the sloppy privacy practice that dropped tens of millions of users' data into a political consulting firm's lap, the slow response to Russian agents, violent rhetoric and fake news, and the unbounded drive to capture ever more of our time and attention dominate the headlines. It's been 15 years since I co-founded Facebook at Harvard, and I haven't worked at the company in a decade. But I feel a sense of anger and responsibility. See, Mark is still the same person I watch hugging his parents as they left our dorm's common room in the beginning of our sophomore year. He's the same person who procrastinated studying for tests, fell in love with his future wife while in line for the bathroom at a party, and slept on a mattress on the floor in a small apartment years after he could have afforded much more. In other words, he's human. But it's his very humanity that makes his unchecked power so problematic. Mark's influence is staggering, far beyond that of anyone else in the private sector or in government. He controls 3 core communication platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, that billions of people use every day. Facebook's board works more like an advisory committee than an overseer because Mark controls around 60% of voting shares. Mark alone can determine how to configure Facebook's algorithms to determine what people see in their newsfeed, what privacy settings they can use, and even which messages gets delivered. He sets the rules for how to distinguish violent and incendiary speech from the merely offensive, and he can choose to shut down a competitor by acquiring, blocking, or copying it. Mark is a good, kind person, but I'm angry that his focus on growth led him to sacrifice security and civility for clicks. I'm disappointed in myself and the early Facebook team for not thinking more about how the news feed algorithm could change our culture, influence elections, and empower nationalist leaders. And I'm worried that Mark has surrounded himself with a team that reinforces his beliefs instead of challenging them. The government must hold Mark accountable. For too long, lawmakers have marveled at Facebook's explosive growth and overlooked their responsibility to ensure that Americans are protected and markets are competitive. Any day now, the FTC is expected to impose a $5 billion fine on a company, but that is not enough. Nor is Facebook's offer to appoint some kind of privacy czar. After Mark's congressional testimony last year, there should have been calls for him to truly reckon with his mistakes. Instead, the legislators who questioned him were derided as too old and out of touch to understand how tech works. That's the impression Mark wanted Americans to have, because it means little will change. We are a nation with a tradition of reigning in monopolies, no matter how well-intentioned the leaders of these companies may be. Mark's power is unprecedented and un-American. It's time to break up Facebook. So, that's just a summary. It still scrolls for a good long while, so what do you think so far? Do you agree with it? Now, for me personally, I don't agree with everything in the way that it's said here, but I can understand where he's coming from. I can understand his frustrations. I haven't even finished the I think I've read like 3/4 of the article. I've missed the last quarter of it, but there's a lot in this, and quite frankly, to have it all in one individual is okay. Humans tend to mess up. Even the best of us tend to mess up. None of us are perfect. There's a reason for that. Therefore, we need other individuals to hold us accountable, other individuals to challenge our beliefs, other individuals to, you know, keep us in check, as it were. And I think that's really the heart of the message that Chris is trying to get to here. So, yeah. Do you think it's time to break up Facebook? I mean, goodness, this is... if you want to talk about a monopoly, this is one big, fat monopoly. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but partially it is, because it now discourages anybody from coming and introducing something new. And I was just listening to a very interesting podcast episode earlier today by the Social Pros podcast, and they're talking about Facebook losing 15 million people. And that's a significant number to look at. That's 15 million people who don't use Facebook anymore. Why? Because growth has plateaued. It's stagnant now. It's not really going to move much more than it has been. There really isn't anything else it can do. So, with that being the way that it is, what companies such as Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all the other tech companies out there need to be looking at is, how do we innovate? How do we change? What do we need to do in the future? And I feel like hindsight's 2020, yes, but at the same time, you probably need to be a little bit more smart about how you approach all of this. And yeah, that's a big, serious point. All Mark was focused on for a long time was strictly growth. Growth, 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 growth. Hit everybody, get everywhere and everything, everyone, everywhere, every time. And it worked out great. But along with that, that sacrificed something, the security and privacy of the users. So it's come time to reckon with, well, see, this is what happens when you forget those other two aspects that go along with it. So I think that's all I really need to say on that. I'm interested in more in what you have to say about it. What do you think? Do you think Facebook's fine as is? Doesn't need to change? Do you think Facebook needs to be broken up? Do you think it needs to be managed differently? Do we need to get more government involved? Well, okay. I'm going to stop you right there. There's an extent to which the government can be involved. Don't push that line. So, outside of that, what are your thoughts? Be sure to leave a comment on the show today, or send us an email, or on social media, Facebook, Twitter. We're everywhere you are, so feel free to reach out and chat. That's all I got to say. Moving on to some gadget news today, the unhackable encrypted flash drive iDisk is, as it happens, a hackable. I love companies who go out of their way to say, this tech, this gadget, this software is unhackable. Because people will figure out a way to get in. It's unless you've figured out a way to build this in a closed system and you control all points of entry and exit, which is virtually impossible in this day and age, you're going to get news like this. So in security, nothing is unhackable. When it's claimed, security researchers see nothing more than a challenge. Enter the latest findings from Pentest Partners, a UK-based cybersecurity firm. Their latest project was ripping apart the unhackable iDisk, an allegedly secure USB flash drive that uses iris recognition to unlock and decrypt the device. In its Kickstarter campaign last year, iDisk raised more than $21,000. It began shipping devices in March. And there's just one problem. It's anything but unhackable. Pen Test Partners researcher David Lodge found the device's backup password to access data in event of device failure or sudden eye gouging accident could be easily obtained using a software tool able to sniff a USB device traffic. And think, found a password. It's easy, he said. Worse, he said, the device's real password can be picked up even when the wrong password has been entered. Lodge explained this as the device revealing its password first, then validating it against whatever password the user submitted before the unlock password is sent. Lodge said that anyone using one of these devices should use additional encryption on the device. The research disclosed a flaw to iDisk, who promised a fix but has yet to release it. iDisk did not return a request for comment. And there you have it. So, yeah, turns out if you start walking around with a gadget that's unhackable, well, it'll be short-lived, because somebody will hack it. And moving on to our last article today, we got some gaming news for you guys. Minecraft is 10 years old, and to celebrate this milestone, Mojang has released Minecraft Classic for the web. This means that you can play Minecraft in your web browser. You don't need to download anything, and Minecraft Classic is completely free to play. So, in case you didn't know, it's been available to play for free for many years, and this isn't the first time it's been available to play in your web browser. However, Minecraft Classic was previously only available on Windows, Mac, and Linux, and required Java. Now, you just need to point your browser at the Minecraft Classic website, which is classic.minecraft.net, and you can play for free without the need to download anything. The only requirement seems to be a keyboard, so you can't play on your smartphone or tablet. Sorry. But, yeah, I actually tested it out myself, and it looks like you can play classic Minecraft. Play the original creative mode, complete with 32 blocks and all the beloved bugs. Oh, joy. So when you load it up, it'll say loading world and do everything starting up. I'm really glad that they don't even have any mention of Notch in that one, too. I'm really, really happy about that. And then it'll ask you to set a username, so then you can know who you are. I didn't test out any like multiplayer features as far as I'm concerned or thinking through. I didn't have much time to test it out, but as far as I'm concerned, this is just you playing in Classic all by yourself. And that's about it. You can die. You can get lit on fire. You can drown. You can blow up. You get hungry, but you don't need Java. And you can run this on any computer, but you need a keyboard. And I think there's one other thing that I wanted to cover in it. If you can save it, I believe you can. I believe it does save the world for you so that you can go back into it, because it does have a hash to use for the world name and your username so that you can, I guess, identify it. But outside of that, if you feel the nostalgia that you want to play Minecraft, you can. However, me personally, I'm waiting for Hytale. And for those of you who don't know, that's actually been my computer screen background for at least the past 3 or 4 months now, is the Hytale one. They're getting a lot of work done. However, a recent announcement from Hytale devs have said we're overwhelmed with the response we got from you guys. We appreciate it. We know the biggest question that you have right now is, when is the game coming out? And we wanted to let you know it is going to be coming out. We just want to make sure that all the bugs are covered and everything is fixed and running smoothly, so that when we roll it out to everybody, we don't have any hiccups. Essentially, they want to make sure they do it right. They don't want to rush it and run into problems. They also know that they're not going to take too long and wane interest and get people disinterested and have them move on. So they're timing that out, but keep in mind they are working hard behind the scenes to create Hytale, and I, for one, am excited about it. So that wraps up this news story, and I got to dig at Minecraft in there. Yes! All right, so that wraps up this special episode of the latest in tech news. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. The latest in tech news can be found on every major platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Except for the special, podcast only, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, well, be sure to let us know by leaving a review and double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next one. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.